Raised Rowdy.
Well, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast, guys. I'm Nick Tressler, and my co-host this week, Mr. Matt Brill.
Still waiting on Kurt. Hope he's doing well in Europe, and can't wait for him to come back, but stoked because we got a good homie on this week.
Yeah. So Matt has had you on the pod before, and I've gotten to see you play extensively, of course, at our events, as well as one of my favorites was the hometown throwdown that you did with Lakeview. So wore the Lakeview shirt in homage of that today. Yep. But thanks for being here, Mr. Brandon Wisher.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure. I love Raised Rowdy. So
we love you, brother.
Let's go.
So we're here to talk about all kinds of things. I know you've chatted life a little bit with Matt previously on the Outside the Round episode. You know, about all of the fun stuff that got you to town and things like that. So I'd say we just like start kicking in with like what's going on right now.
Yeah, insane. So I just got asked to make my Opry debut. We were just kind of touching on it.
Freaking huge, bro.
Insane. Huge, it was completely out of left field. Like, I met with them a couple weeks prior. My buddy McCoy Moore did his Opry debut, and on the same day, they asked me to just kind of come in and, you know, play a couple of songs backstage and hang out, and I got to see his debut, and it was an emotional thing. And I just remember I kind of had a gut feeling. Things have been going pretty well for us, and I'm very fortunate to be able to say that. But something told me, they asked me if I wanted to go and, like, walk the stage and step in the circle. And I was like, no, I'm going to do that real. I got to do that, like, when it's my time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, a week later, maybe, Chandler? It was, like, a week later. And they were like, yeah, we were going to do his debut. They knew a month before I even knew. Mm-hmm. So it was just insane. A crazy feeling.
And you got to have a legend and like a guy you've gotten to know from being on the road and being in a lot of the same circles. Tyler Hubbard asked you. So what was that like? Like, walk us through that day of finding out and then how T-Hub told you.
So that morning I was actually in Savannah, Georgia. That's where I was born. My brother lives out there. My oldest brother, and we don't get to see each other much. It's a long drive. And so I was out there for the 4th of July, and keep in mind, we just had a content shoot for this EP that we're putting out soon. It was like a 12-hour day, just a very rough content day. It's very long. And luckily, it was at my house, though, so it wasn't too bad.
Home game.
So I'm in Savannah, and I was planning on, I had this plan, like, to stay probably 3 or 4 days just with family. Only got to stay 2 days, which I'm not mad about now. I'm glad I came back, but I remember calling Chandler and just being like, hey, like, I know content's very important and I'm always down for it, but I had this planned and this content day I had no idea about. She's like, nope, we got a content day. And Chandler's the sweetest human ever. If y'all know, Chandler's my manager. She's sitting here. And I'm just like, oh, okay, look, I'll be there. And then woke up that morning just super early. I'm driving there. I'm not a mean human. I don't get mad often. But on the whole way, my girlfriend's just like rubbing my shoulder. She's like, and she knew she was in on it. My girlfriend knew. And she's like, you'll get through it. It's fine. Just like the whole, you're mistreated. It's okay. You know? And I'm just on, I'm the whole way just like tired. I'm like, God, I just want to be with my family. I get there. On the way there, I'm like, can I just go? And then they're like, no, you got to be there. Like the whole core team was just being super. It's like, you got to, like, be here, super stern. And I'm like, what is going on today? So we go. First flag that went on in my head that was kind of subconscious was we pulled up to a SIR, like a rehearsal space. Mm-hmm. I was like, for content, like, what do we do? Like, do they have, like, a set here? Or, like, I don't know. I think it was actually soundcheck. It's a very massive building.
Yeah.
We walk in. I, like, kind of see somebody from Tyler's team that I like recognized, like a band member, like kind of walking through the hallway. Didn't clock it at first. I was like, oh yeah, I know that guy. Walk into it. I sit down. Chris Ashley has a camera ready. He's putting it on my face. He's like asking me questions. And like first question, I'm not even done asking. Tyler walks in. And then I start recognizing like everybody in the room had their phone out. And then he asked the question. And then I cried a little bit. It's just crazy. And Tyler just being somebody that I feel like he got me into country music with FGL. Shows my age a bit, but when I was like 10, dude, I was kicking it to Cruz and that first record that they put out. So for him to be able to be the guy to tell me was, that made it 10 times more special for sure. You know, either him or Luke, That had been the only two I would have.
Yeah. You know, been, yeah. And both legends.
You yeah. know both I mean? Legends, yeah.
That's so cool, man. And it's funny, too, you know, it's the struggle of content everybody feels, right? Like, every artist we talk to, that's the thing.
Yeah.
But the day when you were really not feeling it the most ended up being one of the best days.
It ended up being one of the best days, dude.
And, yeah. and I've gotten to see you do you've done content yeah, in this right building here, yeah. where I've been here, and some of the crew's been hanging in the lobby. I've been like, hey, you got to go see B-Wish next door, and you're yeah. back there grinding, bro.
We're always mm-hmm. doing it, dude. You'll find us everywhere. It depends. Yeah. Behind a bar, you just scope spots out, and like places like this, you don't even know. I didn't even know there was like a spot back there to do that. And I've yeah. been here before.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Content's one of those things where it's a part of it.
Yeah.
Know? You got to do it.
I think like thinking on like content now, it's like almost like you have to build out the world of, you know, we get to know you a little bit, so we get to see a little bit of who you are.
100%.
And your songs, of course, do that too, right? Yeah. If someone listens to your music, they get a little piece of you.
Yeah.
But the content that you do gets to give people a little bit more insight onto like, what is the Brandon Wisham world?
Yeah.
And like, what is, you know, your big picture of like what you want to present to the world? Yeah. It's so interesting too, just like thinking back from when I was a kid. I'm going to date myself a lot here. You just dated yourself. My dating's very different. But, you know, back in my younger days, it was like MTV was the place.
Yeah.
And everybody's world was built out on MTV.
Yeah.
Right. Or on the radio. Which it still is, the radio, depending where you're at and, you know, all of that. But those were really the only two places you could consume that.
Yeah.
Unless you had, like, magazine publications that were directed. Like, my brother would get some, like, metal magazine, you know, yeah. so, like, I could Tough. Read
I
mean, that.
I love your story of where one of your, I doubt he knows this, and a lot of people probably don't. When you worked at the store that had the CDs.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a huge Buy. Introduction.
Let's go.
Yeah. I worked at Best Buy. And it was interesting seeing people come in. So this was in 2002-ish.
I was just born.
Yeah. yeah. So, but yep. music was starting to get like distributed on the internet,
yep.
right? Like I remember watching Sum 41 Fat Lip on yeah. this like page and it was so grainy. But like, I was like, oh, what's this? And it was before like it hit the mainstream. They would put out one music video a day. But when I worked in the media section, I knew everything about video games because people tell me about it.
Classic, yeah.
And I knew everything about music. So, like, people would come in and they'd be like, do you have any Kanye West? And I was like, who's Kanye West? Oh, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, look it up online. I'm like, oh, like, he's like doing these beats for Jay-Z. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was before, like, he was like putting out his own stuff.
That is so crazy. Actually.
And then, same thing with like 50 Cent.
Yeah.
Like, people were coming in and we had a system where we could like look stuff up and maybe try to order it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if enough people asked for it, I'd try to order their old CDs.
Yeah.
But then they were like, they're out of stock of these three random CDs I never heard of. Why are they out of stock?
Yeah.
Like you could see it bubbling up organically a little bit.
That is so wild to me.
Yeah.
That's
and
so
just from people
it's
coming
so
in.
So different.
Yeah.
So different.
But it was like word of mouth. Like that's how I found out about a band, Jurassic 5, which is gotcha. Like one of my favorite hip hop collectives.
Yeah.
You know what I
yeah,
mean?
For
because
sure.
someone came in and they're like, this is sick and they're about to drop a new record. And I bought it and I was like, oh my gosh, this is better than everything I've been listening to.
That is so crazy to hear just because like me, first off, my whole life always known Jay-Z or Kanye and 50 Cent to be very massive. So first off. And then like, I guess when I started consuming music, it would have been on an iPhone. Like,
yeah.
I guess that's how young
it's always been digital for you.
Yeah,
or on the
digital.
Radio. But
yeah.
More
and of
digital.
Course, I have siblings y'all's age and stuff too. So it's like, I know about it, but just, we never really talked about that side of like how they consume the music.
Yeah, it's super interesting. And if you'd buy a CD, you would force yourself to like the music.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, or you'd buy it for that favorite. You'd buy it for that one song and not every album was that Here's to the Good Times record with FGL where everyone top to
no
bottom.
No skips.
It was just bangers.
Yeah.
But you'd be on that CD or on that video game because you just bought the whole thing
I wonder if there's a world where like obviously I feel like I can say as an artist nowadays, I feel like they don't write music like they used to in a terms but like I wonder if that's why there's not as much no skips. Like if there was like a certain pressure artists had back in the day, is like this CD is like, but like digitally you got to go on, you can pick what song you want, put it on a playlist. Like You don't have to listen to the whole. I wonder if there's like a pressure.
I think the thing now is like you're always trying to get a single, right? Yeah, 100%. So like when you're releasing a song before your EP comes out,
yeah.
you're like, what's the strongest one that is going to draw the 100%. Most people in and keep them until we drop the EP? Mm-hmm. With an album, like at that time, you would get maybe one song before the record, maybe two.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then the record.
Yeah.
And when the record would hit, you'd be like, this doesn't sound like that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it, and the lyrics in it are meaningful.
Gotcha.
Like, I remember hearing Garth Brooks talk about that. He's like, an album cut used to be the song that you'd get a poster of the lyrics on the wall.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, you could kind of do that a little more. Or if it's like, if you had been like, man, I just love this song. I know it might not hit, mm-hmm. but I just love it. And sometimes those ones hit even more than the ones that you think – that are going to hit.
Are going to hit, yeah.
You know?
And we've seen that in country. Like, you look back, Aldean to me is the best example of
100%.
That. Songs like Fast or Water Tower or Asphalt Cowboy mm-hmm. or any of those songs that you would see in the live show back in the day, mm-hmm. but weren't the big singles like Tattoos on This Town or Take a Little Ride With You. Yeah,
yeah.
But that was, again, that like the end of that era.
Yeah, 100%.
In your like playing shows and even social media, have you had any songs that kind of like bubbled themselves up that maybe you didn't think were going to be a hit or weren't going to connect as well?
Honestly, I mean, Growing Up's my biggest song right now.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I mean, I remember that how that song came about. I'd already wrote it, and I didn't even think to send it into my team because I was like, I don't know if I love this song enough to put it out yet. Mm-hmm. I honestly, too, there was a kind of a struggle median of, like, I didn't know who I was just because of how fast, you know.
Bro, it was so early,
it.
Man. Yeah, you were brand new to this thing.
Brand new. Like, 2 years ago, I was so green. But I just remember I was in the car at a content shoot, just chilling in the back. Like, I think it was freezing outside, so we were just kind of warming up. And my manager at the time was in the car, and I was like, can I play you this demo? And I played her the demo, and she's like, yeah, why have you not? It's been written for months. It's like, why have you not sent this? And I was like, I don't know. So I kind of get my own head about it. But that song specifically, I think, was, and I think more so of, I felt like it was so specific to my story that, and this is kind of me being kind of young and not really knowing, and I haven't traveled the world as much before I written that song. Mm-hmm. It was just like, I feel like this is too specific for me that it wouldn't relate, but it related a lot more than I thought it would. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll tell you, you know, Matt and I separately, but also like together, we've probably interviewed 300 or 400 artists all together.
Mm-hmm.
That story is consistent.
Yeah.
The thing that feels the most personal to your story is often the one that the people feel the most attached to.
100%.
You know, and that's 100%. Been across every, not every podcast, but every season of podcast that I've ever done. Yeah. That's the same things kind of said.
You make songs for people like yourself.
100%. You know? Yeah, you find your crowd that like-minded people, for sure.
It's such an interesting thing, too, because, yeah, like you think if you speak in generalities that would mean more, but...
Mm-hmm.
You know, oftentimes when you're telling the story about you and the things that you're experiencing and the smells that you smell and the feelings that you feel, mm-hmm. like that doesn't have to be someone else's story, but they can relate their story to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's so powerful.
It is so crazy.
Yeah.
It is so wild how that works, dude.
So, like, in the world of Brandon Wisham, like, what would you say are the things that when you're getting on social media or even... you know, through your songs that you're trying to show to the fans?
Yeah. I think we're still learning.
Yeah.
I'm still learning that. But honestly, dude, I feel like, and this has stuck with me even through Bailey Tour when I did that Open Up For Him, crazy. How that happened.
Wild taste of first live show.
Yeah, first live show ever. Or like first like big tour opportunity. I was doing shows in my hometown in like pizza pubs and like little bars and stuff with a band named 3 and 20. You know, some old heads that are just really good. And they just taught me everything they knew about like performing.
Mm-hmm.
Always been acoustic. But first show is like sold out at the Novo in LA. It was like first big tour opportunity. I was like, this is insane. But since then, dude, there was this guy, he was a doctor. He came up to me, you know, significantly older than me. You could just tell he's been doing it for a while. And he was like, my job involves people dying every day. I see a lot of it. And you being 21, 20, year-old kid singing about this, "You Make Me Feel Human." And when I, like, being 20, first off, having somebody that old tell you that and, like, saying that I inspire them.
Yeah.
It just stuck with me. I was like, I want people to feel human when they listen to my music. And I know that's, like, kind of narrow. It's kind of, like, just one thing. But it's at the same time, it's pretty broad if you think about it.
Like,
in a world right now, there's a lot of fake. There's a lot of AI. There's a lot of everything. I just feel like something that I want to do is, like, I'm going to play my show, and I will go into the crowd and watch the next band and hang out and buy people beer. I don't drink personally, but I'll buy people beer. I'll hang out for hours. I'll lose my voice that day. And I'll struggle the next day, but it's all worth it. Because, like, I just want people to remember that. All these, you know, Morgan, he's a human, you know.
Yeah.
Bailey's a human. Like, we're just like y'all. We like the same music. We all kick it the same. But I feel like that's what's been most addicting of, like, wanting my fans to know. It's just, like, very authentic, very real, very, like, I get up, get dressed the same way you do everything. Go write. Like, it's like a job, you know. So I go write and do all these things. That's my favorite part about it, though. That's my favorite part, for sure. Yeah.
It is such an interesting thing, too. And, you know, before I lived in Nashville, you know, and I was just someone going to shows.
Yeah.
There's something about performing on an elevated surface that makes, you know what I mean? You're looking up, physically looking up to them, you know?
100%.
But then when you meet people and, you know, you get to see the good and the bad. And
100%.
That's just how it works, 100%, you know?
100%. Yeah. I feel like... Yeah, I don't know.
It's one of those things where it's like the more you can relate to a single fan, the more you hear from that single fan, the more you can understand like what your demo wants or needs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that doctor saying that, I mean, realistically, he probably doesn't even know that he had such an impact on you that these years later, you're still...
Still pondering on that same
interaction.
I didn't think about that either. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, again, like he's, I always talk, you know, to people when I'm like, my friend Beth is like developing a thing to help people's hearts keep running when they're not running. Dude, and I'm like, you were literally saving people's lives.
Yeah, dude. And she's probably,
it's
what I love.
It's what I do.
Yeah, you're just like Superwoman, but that's cool. Yeah,
it's crazy. That's so awesome. The things that we do, we just get to listen to and help spread the stories of artists, which is impactful.
100%. Yeah,
but not as much as keeping someone's heart running.
No, you know? Playing guitar, dude.
Yeah,
that's way next level, dude.
But I mean, I think the thing that it all comes down to is the people that live their normal lives that are struggling with seeing so much death past their doorstep.
Yeah.
They get meaning from the art that you're creating.
100%.
You know?
Yeah.
There's so much power in that.
Yeah.
So many people need reprieve. They need sad songs that make them help get through it, and they need happy songs.
Yeah.
That also make them not worried about going back to work on Monday.
100%. You know? 100%. I mean, I think that's like where my obsession with, like, not obsession, but big inspiration for, like, Luke. I remember, like, losing my dad, even though I'm leaving, was played at his funeral. So, like, I feel like that's where there's so much attachment and, like, respect for Luke. Same, I guess, now, like, seeing fans relating to, like, growing up.
Yeah.
It's just, like, I just remember listening to that song. Every time I felt sad, I'd cry. But after that song, I felt so much better, dude. It's, like, an attachment that I've made to that.
Sometimes you need to cry.
Sometimes you have to cry, dude. Yeah. And I'm the guy that'll stand. I'm not used to being like this, but I'm the guy that'll stand on the table and let everybody know, like, man or not, just cry, dude.
Yeah.
If you want to do it by yourself, cool. Like, do it however you want to do it. I prefer to cry on stage. I prefer to let y'all know that I'm going through something because I don't know. I feel like I'm a big fan of just talk about it.
Yeah.
If you talk about it, you just feel so much better, dude. If you let your emotions out, that's why you have them. It's not, they're not meant to. You know, if you're not supposed to cry, you wouldn't cry. You know what I mean?
I agree.
So that's been a big thing too, experiencing that, especially in the country scene, dude. God, people can be mean for sure. Some dudes can be mean, but it's whatever, you know.
Dude, it's an interesting thing too. And I mean, like, Matt has been posting like short form videos, and I've started doing some as well.
Yeah.
And some of the hater comments.
It's tough, dude.
It's tough. But at the same time, it's like, if it's getting to enough people, there's going to be some people that don't like it.
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah. And there's two kind of hate comments, dude. There's ones that, like, I was on stage, I fucking Florida one time. I don't remember who we were opening up for. Probably shouldn't say it anyways, but all the crowds I played for have been amazing. But yeah. I just remember this one guy. I don't like, can I cuss?
Yeah. Okay. You say whatever you want.
Sure. All right, just making sure. But I remember, like, on stage, and I was singing, I think it was Growing Up, and I started crying. There's this guy, like, midway through, he's like, quit being a pussy.
Oh, God.
Play Free Bird. Like, he was just fucking the whole time. I was like, gosh, dude. That, like,
yeah.
Obviously, I'm not, like, I wasn't, like, it didn't get me down. I kind of, like, I'm a very humorous guy. I have dark humor. I have, like, so I kind of, like, in my head, I was like, God, this guy's a prick.
Yeah.
But just kind of ignored it, shrugged it off. And then you got hit comments, like, there was one I said, he's like, get some tighter, like, those pants can't be any tighter, or like, something like comments that you see on the internet, just like, get a bigger pair of pants that fit Tubby or something like that.
Yeah.
So funny. Actually encourage those. Like, I'll laugh my ass off.
Yeah, it's like, I just had Brantley Gilbert on my podcast.
Yeah.
He was talking about his favorite comment of all time was somebody commenting on one of his songs saying, this guy is a living, breathing affliction t-shirt. And he's like, I love that.
That's so tough, you know? Dude. Yeah. That's
so they're like, you get the brand.
Yeah.
He's like, I love comments. Yeah. Like
100%,
you know?
Dude. 100%.
It's one of those things, too. And, you know, everybody's confidence goes in waves.
Yeah.
But if something's working, your confidence is high.
Yeah.
Right? Dude. I mean, that's 100%. Like when you're going and talking to a girl. If the last time you talked to a girl, it worked, you're going to go talk to a girl again. And it,
yeah.
You know?
With the same high, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's all of that. So it's like, as long as, in my head, if the video made it to enough people where they sent it to some people that really don't like it or that have something snarky to say, that means the video is doing good.
Yeah, 100%. You know? Dude, prime example, somebody with really tough skin, my boy Graham.
Yeah.
Barham, Graham Barham, bro. Yeah.
They rip into him sometimes. Oh, but his like, I've like been with him like reading through comments like backstage. I think we were at a T-Hub show. And how, like, the way he embraces it, dude, is just like not human. He's just like, how it does not faze him. He's just like, dude, you got to look at it this way. I'm like, dude, you're 100% right.
It's so interesting with him, too, because I remember like
the
early
fan, by the way. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I love what he's doing.
Well, here's what I will tell you. When he started coming on the country scene, I remember people in town being like, this is weird that Graham's doing this. And I'm like, why? And they're like, well, he like was putting out rap music while he was in college. It was like very hip hop oriented.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of his origin.
Yeah. So I was like, oh. And then he was like TMing and writing country. And he was like, well, I love these songs. So he's putting out some more traditional sounding country. Yeah. So I was like, bro, I remember your early days, people giving you shit for being too country.
Yeah.
And now they're giving you shit
for being
what you used to, like mixing in what you used to be, you know?
Damn,
you
dude. Damn,
you can't
damn
win. Yeah, literally, dude. That is the Graham Barham story.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so crazy, dude.
But that's the thing is all they see is they hear Preachers Need People. Yeah. And they're like, I love this.
Yeah.
I connect with this.
Yeah.
And then they hear the club country he's doing now, and they're like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
So that he has people that were big fans of Preachers Need People that are like, this isn't my thing now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing, but man, I will tell you, his live show.
It goes so hard.
We've gotten to see him at a number of festivals, and it just gets a crowd going.
Yeah. I gotta go see it.
He plays McConaughey live, bro.
Does
that
he?
Place
that shit's
going.
So tough, dude. That content he did crush, dude.
Yeah, that's the thing that I'll say is consistent with Graham. Like since I met him, which was when he was kind of doing the more country stuff.
Yeah,
he's always been like, let's grind on this content, and like, I know that's going to help me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I always say this too. I'm like, right now, like major labels and like even like people that are booking like festival stages and stuff, they're like, is this person grinding?
Yeah.
To where all it takes is one song, all it takes is one video.
Yeah.
Right?
100%.
And then you just got to be consistent with it after. But if you just have the one moment and then nothing happens behind it and you're not willing to work to get it there, it's not going to stay forever.
100%.
So the work ethic, and he's had that forever, is the thing that's been
consistent. He's one of the most
hardworking
artists I know for sure.
Bro, I remember I was driving up to Pittsburgh with him. He was doing some of his first acoustic shows, and he was going to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. So I was like, bro, I'll come with you and help drive. We can crash at my buddy's house to save you a little bit of money. Yeah, like,
Significant amount of money, by the way. More than you think.
Yeah. And so we were driving up, and on the way up, he was like calling Bo and like calling other writers and like, yo, let's do this. Like, he was like, while he's driving, setting stuff up for the upcoming week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, damn, dude, this kid really wants
That's so inspirational, dude. That's so fire.
It's just cool to see that hustle.
Yeah.
You know?
100%.
Like, you see that so much in the business world and different things. Like,
yeah.
That, like, almost sales mentality. You know what I mean? Where 100%. You're like, push, push, push.
Yeah.
He has that for sure.
100%. Yeah. I love that about Graham.
Well, you've been dropping a lot of, like, singles and stuff, but... We got, like, we've talked lightly about it, but let's really dig into, you got the first EP coming out.
Yeah, dude. First off, insane that I'm even doing, like, a project. Something thought out. It was kind of crazy how it came about. I don't know if we were, I think we knew we were going to do an EP, like, soon. But I think how it came about was very, just kind of like, we should do it. Bang, 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 bang. Here it is. Yeah. And it was like,
tell us about that.
I was writing music in Nashville since I moved to town. Like I said, from the last podcast, Bailey Zimmerman found me off a song I wrote. First song I ever wrote, it was about my dad, called Pain Won't Last. And Bailey ended up cutting it. And then that got my foot in the door to a publishing deal. So since literally day one of me moving to Nashville, I've had a publishing deal and was like writing for, anything really. I just was kind of trying to get my brain in the right, because writing wasn't ever like a it's not something I knew I wanted to do, and I never written prior to that song Bailey had found. So I just had hundreds of songs just sitting in my phone, and so when it came about, they were talking about EP land and like what the title's gonna be and like what's the content based around, what's the outfits, like very well thought out thing. I was a bit overwhelmed that I had to sit with it for a bit. Remember like texting him, like, hey guys, let me sit with this for a minute. And I went to my garage. It was raining. Perfect opportunity just to like jam demos. So I was in my garage with a sweet tea, raining. The shed was open and I just like laid my head back. It was pitch black and I was just playing all these demos. And in the point I am in my life, being, you know, 23, I had all this cool stuff happen, a lot of this bad stuff that had happened that I'm still trying to heal from, like losing my dad and trying to navigate life as a teenager without parents and like, you know, just figure out, you know, where the hell I'm even supposed to be, if I'm far, if am I as far as I should be, am I behind, you know, just like all these emotional thoughts, being in therapy, really trying to just figure out my mind. And there was these songs that came about, through the thing. It was Nothing Left to Burn was one of my favorites that when I wrote the song about a year ago, I think, it was just one of those ones that like I would get into the car and play my regular music rotation and I would play that song in the rotation. A lot of people don't like listening to their own music. I know artists, I personally love listening to my music. Big, like, I feel like I gotta be a fan of it. So if I'm a fan of it, it's a good song. Nothing Left to Burn was just one of those that was like in the rotation since I wrote it in my regular music like rotation. So that I knew I had to put on there just because it showed even musically a side that I want to get to eventually, with like influence. I Hope It Rains was a song I was actually terrified of because for one, I sat with Dan Pellerin. We wrote it together. I sat in Warner Chapel with Dan from 11 a.m. to probably 11 p.m. recording the demo vocal, because it's just such a hard, like, it was one of the most vocally challenging songs I've had. For two, I feel like it's one of the most emotional songs I've ever written. So I knew, you know, from that point, I was like, okay, these are very two, couldn't be more different, but sonically, if I locked in with producer Matt Giroux, I was like, we could kind of make it live in the same world. And then obviously all the other bangers I've already had out, I was like, let's give them another opportunity, because I feel like some of those songs have more life in them. So just kind of like squeezing as much as you can, like broader audiences. So I got four of my favorite demos, added them to the five that I had out. And then we were like, what's the strongest one? Like we were talking about earlier, it's like, what's the strongest one that will bring people? I didn't think I had that yet. So we were kind of pondering on it. I was in a riot with Mia Mantilla, Brett Tyler, dog, and Logan Maggio, dog. And Mia's a dog as well.
Yes, Mia's great.
Crazy room.
Mia's awesome.
Crazy room. She's like one of the most consistent riders in my like circle now. Like,
that's great.
I'm always in a room with her now.
Perfect. That's awesome.
But we were writing it, and we were halfway through. Sarah from the Core, just kind of helping me organize the EP. She texts me, she's like, yo, we got to text the label today. We need your track listing. At this point, I've been putting it off like, let me get one more day. Let me get one more day. deadline's coming up, label deadline. So, you know, you're like, they're like, you know, you got to get it in tonight. Mm-hmm. I was like, verse one in to the song, and I was like, you have to wait. This is going to be the one. And we didn't have the song even finished yet. No chorus. Verse one was done. And dude, Brett and Mia were just like cooking back and forth in this room. I didn't even feel like I got a word out for a while. They were just like, I was just seeing the magic of them bouncing off of each other. And like, I kind of gave them what I wanted to talk about. And they just like did the songwriter thing that I don't think I have yet, you know? So we got done with the song. I send it in. I'm hyped at this point. I told Logan, like, usually I'm a fan of like giving the track guy a few days, like, get it perfect. I told him, I was like, I need this now. Like, send it to me tonight. I don't care how crazy it sounds. He ended up producing it, which worked, you know, it sounds amazing. But I was like, I need this now, sending it in. This is going to be the title track. And it was Ain't What It Looks Like. We posted it acoustic, and it, like, the first post had like 10,000 likes, and it was like, that had like most, but that was a story that, like, kind of going back, I knew that song was going to be very like, just because like the verse, it's hard to get out of bed, can't get off my phone, I'm stuck in my head, got shit to do but I don't. It's probably the most like realistic lyric I've ever came up with or like I've ever put out. I just knew like a lot of people are going to feel called out by this because like me posting this TikTok, I'm laying in bed scrolling on my phone, I have shit to do, and I'm still not dressed, you know, for my ride, you know. So that's just kind of like how it came about. We just was like, I know this is kind of where I am in life. I'm in this healing process of, you know, I'm going back and adventuring through old traumas and like, especially with like just therapy and stuff, like reliving these things, and these songs just help me relive those really well. But yeah, dude, I'm excited. I'm excited for everybody to hear like the new songs. And it's super overwhelming in a good way. Cause I just want it to be, I'm a perfectionist. So I obviously want it to be perfect. And like I'm still doing edits now. And the EP's like kind of set. They're like, we can't really change it. I'm like, can we like tweak it a little bit? fine tune it. But I've learned too, you can't fine tune it. Like, you can over tune. You know, so kind of get into a spot where my brain's just like, it's good, you know?
Well, that's like an interesting thing too with, like we talked about, like the realness, you know? Some of the things that make some of the most historic songs of all time are someone shaking a sugar packet in it.
Yeah, 100%, I mean? Like, bro.
Just 100%. Little chaos that happens when recording.
Like Justin Timberlake, he like beatboxes on his beats and stuff. It's like little shit like that, yeah. I wish.
It's just the little things that break your brain. Like, I was driving home from a concert this weekend and talking to one of my friends, and I was like, I love this Incubus record, which is, you know, rock band from the 90s, 2000s. I was like, the thing I like about it is how much you hear going on that's not even in the vocal.
Yeah.
Like the instrumentation and like all the chaos with the DJ.
Dude, Incubus is so fire, yeah.
Yeah, it's such an interesting listen. And that stuff is what makes it super re-listenable for me because there's so much going on in it, but it all seems cohesive too.
See, that I feel like kind of going dipping into influence, a lot of people, I mean, I feel like some people, I try to state this a lot, but country wasn't always like my first. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I got into country music when like FGL and like, Jason Aldean, like that was my introduction into country music. Shows my age a bit. But I really loved like Bieber and Chris Brown and you know, as an artist. It was just like, I just actually went to the Chris Brown Usher R&B tour thing.
Yeah,
literally like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
At Nissan. And dude, like I've been to thousands of country concerts. I'm not taking, like, there is a magic to country music and, like, going to, like, a honky-tonk bar and seeing a super country band. It's so fire. Mm-hmm. But listening to, like, just going back to, like, sound, I've found myself, I'm, like, such a big fan of, like, the little, like, one-time, like, triangle that just, like, in this one spot that you hear once or, like, this very just, like, low, wavy shit that I like, dude, did you hear that? And they're like, no. I'm like, dude, it's, like, right here, and I'll replay it. Pop music has that so much, and I think Chris Brown, especially when watching, like, the live shows, like, was getting so emotional of, like, the tracks, and, like, I had Clara was there, my girlfriend, and I was just kind of pointing out, like, these, everybody was singing lead, like, singing along with Chris, and I was doing the ad-libs and shit that he was doing, and everybody was looking at me like, this guy knows ball, dude. You know what I mean? But I'm, like, such a fan of, like, and it, like I said, even with Incubus and, like Rehab, Open Up for Rehab, mm-hmm. they had, like, the, I knew of Bartender, right? Mm-hmm. I was, like, 15 when I opened up for them, by the way, and it was, like, Lack Fest in South Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Sick.
With 3 and 20 of those
we
guys.
We know that world very yeah, well.
100%. Yeah. It's kind of where I started, which yep. is crazy. But, yeah, 3 and 20 took me into Lack Fest. They were playing it. They let me play, like, a little acoustic thing. Beforehand, but I remember watching Rehab because I like just from my siblings, I knew who they were, and I know them as like a rock kind of like Incubus-ish type band. When they had the DJ on stage, just fucking going ham, I was like, this doesn't, I don't feel like it fits in my brain, but it does. Like listening to it is like, this fits perfect, like yeah. it's like such a cool like style of music, and that's what kind of got me into like. Other shit. I'm just like, sounds to me like it's so important. Like yeah. the little shakers, like you said, the little moments in music just kind of make the whole record for me.
Yeah, it just gives you something interesting to get back to. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
100%. And then make you want to listen again. Like
100%.
Yeah.
It's that's kinda like
ear candy,
thing.
Is what I call
yeah.
it. Yeah.
My thing when I listen to a song, I'm like, do I want to listen to this song 100 times?
Yeah.
Because my ADHD. When I hear a song I love,
I will.
Oh,
I want to
he'll
to
do
it.
He'll incorporate the lyrics into Dude. Vernacular or like. Yeah. A
if it
look.
Weren't for the wind, L. Langley, yeah. a million times.
Yeah.
And when I Bailey Zimmerman posted it, like lip singing it. It's my first introduction to it. Listen to it. Haven't stopped since.
Yeah.
yeah. I'll yeah. listen to it. I'll burn it out. That's all I'm with my demos, dude. If I love it. If I get it back, there's this one, I can show y'all some stuff too if y'all want, but there's this one demo I made, literally, or I didn't make it, but I was a part of, I sang it. Mm. We wrote it. I've like gotten to my car that day, I was like, send it, like looking at my phone, waiting for him to send it, because he told me he'd send it that day, he was pretty fast with it. I was looking, got it, played it 100 times, like, yep, this is coming out soon. I don't know when, but this song is fire.
I love that.
Yeah, so I'm, yeah. I'll play it out, dude.
Yeah. yeah.
That's hot.
My household's dude. Sick of it. Yeah. This EP, my household has heard it a million times. I'm the guy, I'll come home for fresh from a ride, hook up my big JBL, Josh Ross got me, like a tour gift. It's a big mistake is what he did. He gave me a very loud speaker. I turn it on, lay on the couch, kick my boots off, and I'm going through the EP, and I'm nitpicking, and I'm here. I was like, oh, I should have said this. I should have tweaked this. I should have asked Matt to do this. But, yeah. Yeah, I'll play it out. I'm not the guy to hang out if you don't want to hear a song.
Yeah, and we talked about it a little bit when I had you on OTR back in the day. It had to be last year, I think.
Yeah.
But being a part of a team and being a part of a family yeah, like dude. The core, and Matt Giroux is a part of that. You were yeah. talking about yeah. Bailey and Josh and Nate's over there.
Yeah.
And the FGL guys and Dan and Shay and so many folks. Like, yeah. what's it like kind of having all those big brothers to look up to?
Insane, first off. I think for, like, the newer country, you got, you know, the Nates, the Josh, the Baileys. Just having people that's already done it, like, freshly, like, just got through what I'm going through now. Mm-hmm. It's such a superpower, I guess, because I feel like I kind of been, like, I feel like that's what's helped my trajectory, you know, grow so fast. I feel like because I can call Bailey and be like, this is what I'm coming up to. This is my roadblock. How do I get around it? Mm-hmm. And then he knows the shortcut. He's like, okay, because I went through this head first. And, or like, I had to learn how to play live shows and fuck up a lot. This is how you get around that. And yeah. then now you see Bailey's like one of the, if not one of the best entertainers in terms of live show and country yeah. music.
His live show is amazing.
I'll stand on that, dude. I would watch him over majority of headliners. He's entertaining, dude.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to see somebody just cartwheel, backflip, firework. Yeah. You know, like it's like cartwheel backflip firework. Cartwheel backflip firework. It's just like, okay, yeah, this is tough. And then you got people like Josh and like, you know, him, you know, he's on his rocket ship now. Like he was on the rocket ship, a small little, and then now he's on another rocket ship. And there's like a small little rocket ship. So like, and then Nate, you know, just getting off a tour with Nate, he's, you know, a little older than all of us. But even with life, I feel like me and Nate had a lot of personal conversations on like, we're very similar dudes, very emotional people. And like, it was just, it's such a super, and you got people like Tyler Hubbard, just being, you know, the old head that's like, and I mean that with love, Tyler. Just being the old head that just has been doing it and knows the old way. And like talking about a guy that like had it, had to start over and is like re-grinding his way back up is one of the most inspirational things ever, dude. Like FGL making their comeback recently, first off, called it. I'm hyped up. I don't think anybody else is hyped as I am. I'll fight anybody that
we are too. We're very excited.
So, but just having like, you're in a spot where like you were literally singing an FGL, like y'all had it, and then having a start over, and he's like already in just a couple years of like the solo thing, making his way back up, which is only going to make FGL even bigger when it comes out. Cause you got to think like younger fans of Tyler Hubbard probably don't even really know about FGL. Like some, you know what I mean? Like some, if you think about it, like they probably know a couple of songs like Cruise, the big ones, but they're not, they don't know like I talk you in it, and out the hallway, turning on. Like just those old like deep cuts,
and they
like,
haven't experienced an FGL show. You don't have a Wallen or a Hardy show without an FGL show.
You don't. It's the evolution. So I'm excited for that too. Hopefully, I'm watching it from our van when we open up. But, but no, it's just like having him being a guy that's like has already like literally have had the highest of highs of all this. Just being there to kind of keep me grounded, and like when I'm overwhelmed, I know I can call him and be like, dude, this is getting tough. And he's like, what's getting to, like, you got it, like look what you got, look what you're doing, look what, you know. He's been a good mentor. So
I love that.
Just the core, keeping the family root of like everybody, just they make sure like there's no gaps. Like as soon as I was the new guy, I was hanging out with the big guys. It was no gap. I wasn't like, didn't have to make my way up to hang out with Tyler Hubbard. It was like, Tyler Hubbard's on, we all got dinner. And it was like, this is like family dinner, that's like getting to know each other. Yeah. And everybody's just so tight, dude. Everybody on the court is just like tight, tight.
I love that.
It's important stuff.
It's so important. And it makes it so much easier to want to keep going and doing it. Cause like family is, there is a lot of love, but there's a lot of like, they're on your ass. They're like, we know, we believe in it. We know you got it. And you have the team, like everybody here. They literally say like everybody here is ready to like die on your heel, but you got to like want to do it. So it's like tough love's there, the sweet love, like everything above that you could. I mean, I love the core, dude. I'm not just glazing because she's here. I'm like, I literally is like, could not have landed in a better spot.
Yeah.
I always talk about this too. Like before I got to Nashville, I didn't realize like what the right team does to help an artist.
100%.
Right. A good team can take you from being in your downest moment to being on the upswing quickly.
It's the most important part of it.
Yeah. And same thing, like figuring out, you said, we're figuring it out. Well, now you have a team of people that are helping you figure it out. Not forcing you to do something you don't want to do, but like saying, and like check-ins with the moments that you're actually having.
Yeah, 100%. You know? And it's crazy, like, even to think about, like you said, great point of like, they're not doing it because they like have to. Knowing that like while I'm asleep, there is somebody scrolling on the internet, looking at my logistics, and then when I wake up, they're like, oh, I was scrolling and seeing this. We think this would work really good of what we've already been doing. Let's try it. Or like
ideas.
While I'm not working, and I'm like trying to do like live show and like the fun part of it, there's people consist like Chandler here, like is literally 24/7. It's like, what does Nate have to do? What does Brandon have to do? How do I get Nate and Brandon to the next level? It's just like a constant thing. I think management, in my opinion, love all my label people, love all my publishing people. I think management is like one of the toughest jobs to have in the music industry so far. Just because, like, it's just a constant loop of, like, scheduling. Is that my phone?
No, it's not mine.
Yeah, it's mine. How embarrassing is that? I have it on silent, too.
Yeah.
Oh, no, anyways, you're good. Somebody really wants to talk, dude.
But just, like, knowing that, like, it's just a constant of, like, they do scheduling and, like, finances. Like, we have a text. Me and Chandler are in, like, 8 different group chats. And when we wake up, there's 100 messages to get to. Mm-hmm. But keep in mind, Chandler not only has my 100, but probably Nate's 1,000 that he wakes up to every morning.
Yeah.
And not just Chandler. I mean, you got, you know, all the whole team, the digital side, you know, the A&Rs. It's just, like, just so much respect for just, like, people that work when I'm not working. Yeah. When I'm having fun, when I'm driving to gigs, when I'm trying to get sleep or do the artist thing. You're just people that want it just as much as I do. Yeah. And you have your North Stars, you know, you got people that didn't need a team to get there, but when they get there, they need it to keep going.
Yeah, it takes a village.
Takes a village, no matter what level you're at. It's just a blessing. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, I was looking at it. I thought you were gonna keep going.
No. But no, dude. Yeah.
I think that's, like, one of the keys too is, like, no one has it all figured out.
No,
right?
Dude. Yeah.
It's just putting smart people together and all pointing in the same direction.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm still learning that. I feel like we're still having conversations that, honestly, me being 3 years of management probably shouldn't be having. But it's just in a sense of, like, I had to realize this step, like, nobody has it figured out. Like what you're saying, like, nobody knows the formula to get somebody from here to there. There's no real consistent formula. Every artist is different, you know. Yeah. they didn't know how to break Josh. Mm-hmm. They figured it out and broke Josh. They didn't know how to break Bailey. They had a hot moment with Bailey, figured it out, and made Bailey even bigger than what he was already having, you know. So me having an understanding of, like, when I signed the deal, initially being somebody outside of music, my always thought was, like, once you get signed, that's how it happens. You get signed, you're with people that know the code, and then next month I'll be massive. Not the case.
No.
Not the case. I signed my deal. We sat down and they were just kind of like, what do you want? I was like, I don't know. What do I want? Y'all tell me what I want. What do I want? And it's just like, you have these powerhouses like Chief and Simon that are like, they have all the connections in the world. You know, the finances are there. They have, I mean, they have all the resources, but me as an artist, I have to figure out what I want and how I can use their resources to my advantage to get to that point.
Yep.
When a lot of people just think it's just like sign and you're there.
Yeah, you're the CEO of your business. And you're bringing them in as partners of your business.
100%. You got to think about it. Like, you get in and this is like coming from their words I learned. It's like a weird point of view change I had. It was like when I wake up in the morning, I used to like, they're my boss. So like, what do I got? Like, what's my checklist? When they, like, Chief and Simon sat down and was like, you're our boss. You let us know what we got to check off and we'll check it off. But so now, like, since that conversation, this has, like, been recently too, like, probably like 2 weeks ago. This mood switch. I bought the biggest whiteboard I could find in Walmart. It just looks like I'm coming up with some lab experiment in my bedroom. I have a massive whiteboard with all my goals. And it's like, I mean, some are outrageous. Some are like, get on a Luke Combs tour, opening up first of four. Some are like little, like, go to the dentist, like get a dentist appointment. Just like everything under the sun that I want to achieve, big or small, it's on this massive whiteboard. And then I have, as soon as I wake up, it's like a poster board. And I actually learned this. I watched the Jackson movie, or Michael movie, from Michael Jackson. Changed my life. But Jafar, which is his nephew that played Jackson in the movie, or Michael in the movie, he said he had, like, access to Michael's bedroom and said that there's post-it notes all over the walls. Like, you are the greatest of all time. You're, like, just manifested the hell out of his career. So I bought the biggest poster board I could find, and it's like thumbtacked to my ceiling. And as soon as I wake up, it's like Michael Jordan quotes and like Michael Jackson quotes, Bieber, Drake, all my friends. I have Chief, Simon, Tracy. Like, I let them send me a quote. I wrote it down on permanent marker. So every time when I wake up, it's just like immediately, it's like fail to succeed. you're the greatest of all time. You're going to, like, you're going to, it's just so, like, and it's been such a change. And, like, every time, like, when I wake up, I'm not just, like, rolling out of bed. It's, like, I'm reading the first three quotes I see, and I'm already fired up. Look at my poster board. Have I checked? I made the poster board, like, 2 weeks ago. Already checked off, like, three things. And they were kind of, like, up there. And it's, like, you just, you, when you manifest, dude, it's, like, it's not even like magic manifest. It's like when you put something down that you want to do, like in a visual to check a box off, you're going to check it off more than if you just have a mental thought of like, oh, I want to be on the radio. But if I wake up on my poster board and it's like first song to radio, you know, you're like, okay, well, that's what I'm working towards.
Yes.
But yeah, dude, team, it's these last couple weeks, dude, have been such a, I've not been more fired up.
I love that.
I've not Let's been go. More fired up. Yeah. This is like a perfect time to do a podcast, dude. Because I was like, hell yeah, dude. And, well, and it's been y'all, too. So I'm like, yeah.
And a great time to drop freaking debut EP.
And make your and make your Opry debut. Yeah. Like,
dude, it's what all a time. Universal. Like, it's a universe thing. God, dude. This is God's timing. You know, like, even with how I kind of came up here, it's just like, I feel like it's kind of been weird because I feel like you kind of have, like, the little wins, and you keep climbing. Usually, it's just kind of like how it happens, like, little win, little moment, little win, cool moment, little win. It's been, like, big win, neutral, big win, neutral. It's, like, a bunch of my friends, like, joke that's been here forever. It's, like, you skipped the 10-year town thing. It's, like, it's like you've been here 15 already. And I never really understood that until, like, recently. It's just, like, yeah, dude, I could be – a lot worse off than I think. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Because you got people, you don't even think about it, but like, there's like my, some of my friends and stuff are making their off debut. They've been here 10 years and they're just now making their off debut. I've been here 2 years, dude.
Like, yeah.
It's just a crazy, it's a crazy feeling, dude.
It's great. I mean, honestly, that's a testament to the talent that you have.
Thank you, dude. I appreciate
and
it.
And a testament to what people think about you.
Thanks.
You know, not just on your team.
Yeah.
But other people too, and the character of a human you are, which
thanks,
is
one
of my favorite parts.
Good things
you,
happen to good people, and you're a great dude. So great things are happening, bro.
Thanks, dude. Yeah. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I just my mom don't. Nobody likes an asshole. There's too many of those nowadays.
Seriously,
nobody likes an asshole. Like I just think about it. If somebody's like coming up hyped up to meet me, how I would feel if it was the roles were reversed and I was a douchebag. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this wouldn't happen. And this is a lot of example. I'm using him in a lot because I see posters on the wall, and he's one of my biggest influences. If I went up to Luke, and Luke was an asshole, which would never happen, honestly, just knowing how he is as a dude.
Yeah.
That would just crush me, dude. That would just completely... I don't know if I could even do music anymore. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So having somebody come up to me, I'm thinking about, like, I want to make sure this guy leaves with the impression of, like, this is a good fucking dude, you know?
Yeah.
With everybody. With everybody. I just kind of like, and it like, it hurts me to be mean. Like I'll ponder on, if I say something like, even if I'm joking with a friend and I say something just super deep and like very mean or hurtful or like, I'll think about it. And I'll go in there like later, like, hey dude, I'm sorry. It was a joke. But like, I'm like really, you know,
feel
call me pussy
it.
If you want, dude. I'm just like, I just think way too deep about shit.
Yeah.
I just can't leave a bad impression because that will hurt my mind for like months, dude.
I'm the same way. I think about stuff that I did 9 months ago and I'm like, oh man.
Yeah.
You know?
Even if it's unintentional or like you'll do something that you won't think at the time is done, but like 9 months later you'll think about it and it's like, was that like mean or like, it'll come back to you. And it's just, I don't know. I'll ponder on shit for, I mean, years, dude. There's shit I've said years ago. I'm like, I regret it. You know? Yeah. And like high school, especially, you know, you're growing up learning who you are. And I had a lot of hardship, obviously, in the household. So, I mean, it's just like, I just want to be a good dude. You know?
Yeah.
And all. I just want to be, I want to be the nicest human you talk to. I want to, If you need 30 minutes of my time, I'm going to give you 30 minutes of my time.
Yeah.
Whether I have it or not, kind of thing.
I love that.
It's just been, but yeah, dude, I feel like that more than anything, like more than talent, more than anything, like you were saying, like that has been more rewarding to me. People want me to play the shows because our first impression, you know, they like, obviously the band, like we worked hard. So like, I hope we sounded good and I hope that's why y'all want us to come back. But most of the time promoters will tell me, like, dude, this kid was just like in Prince Edward's Island, we just played that. First off, crazy show. I ended up, we got there 5 minutes, like backstage was like 5 minutes before our sound check. Nobody was like at our like tent because it's like a festival. I was like, I told the boys backstage, I was like, it might be one of those ones, but like paid practice, like let's get it going. Like we're in Canada, so like I don't know how we're going to do in Canada. I go on stage for sound check, every bit, like there's no spot, and that's like first for me. It's like not a single open space to leave. It was like flooding outside of the side of the barn.
That's so cool.
Super overwhelming for me. But I remember after that show, like going, I was like trying, I was like, who puts this on? And I went in there and I was like, dude, thank you for like letting me do that. And like, I will do anything I can to be back. Like, incredible. Like, it was such a good festival in terms of just how it was laid out. I don't know why more people don't fly to go see that festival. Like, it's that's very hometown oriented.
Is that one Cavendish?
Cavendish.
I was trying to, dude, we haven't done a lot of Canadian festivals, but dude, I'm like, Cavendish, I think Cavendish is PEI.
I'm just like, I'm so confused on why more people don't fly in to see that. Like, it, obviously, it's very island, like, it's an island. So it's like very hometown oriented. There was not, like, places closed. To go, like, they're like, so everybody here is working, is going to the festival to hang out at some point. Like, they'll open till like, and they'll close at 3.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're going to the festival. So it's like that. I was like, I have to find a promoter. I had to let them know, like, how appreciated we were that, like, even though we lost some money probably to just, like, fly out there, I didn't care. I was like, this is the craziest show I played this year, and I want to be back. And I'm like, we have to be back. That is. Hopefully gets me in the lineup next year.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just remember how obsessed I was. And, like, I wanted to make sure to leave that good impression on the venue and the people there.
I think that's an important part, too. And the more, like, festival promoters we get to know. Yeah. And, you know, personal relationships are a big part of
it. It's a big part, dude.
It is.
It's a big part.
And, I mean, realistically, that's how you break in a market.
Yeah.
You know, like, thinking about, like, Lakeview and Tailgates and Tallboys.
Those guys.
You know what I mean?
Obviously, have y'all seen my tattoo?
Yeah. The Panther and the LV.
Everybody asked me, they're like, would you get covered up? Because I have, like, the LV there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I was like, no, dude, those are my dogs.
The boys.
I had to. The perfect example of how I learned, like, they can look so intimidating, the tattoos, the heavy music. Like, they're the coolest, the most deserving, like, and they, like, they, like, clean their green room up. You know what I mean? Some artists don't do that. But, like, even me now, I'll go and they wipe tables down. They'll pick up their cans. They'll, like, they're not leaving much of a mess anyways. They're newsflash. They're not really fucking, like, partier guys. Like, they give it all on the stage.
Yeah.
And then they go to bed. Yeah. You know, like, they shower on to the next. They grind, dude.
Yeah.
They're driving 15 hours in a Pullman.
Yeah.
Taking turns still. But prime example of just dudes that'll give everything on they got on the stage. They find the promoter, thank them, and they play it every year. And that's like, that's why. It's because they're not only are they really good, they're just really good dudes, dude.
Yeah.
People want to be around them.
Yeah.
I got a fucking tattoo of them. Grown ass man. I got a Lakeview tattoo because they inspired me. They like had a big part of my story, you know? So love those guys, dude.
Bro, we love you.
Thank you, dude.
Thankful to get to see you as often as we do.
100%.
And we can't wait for the times where we don't get to see you as much because you're playing even more shows.
Yeah, when we're out at festivals and we're crossing paths at festivals.
Yeah, dude. I strive to. We'll get there, too. But I think y'all have been such a... Y'all have had such... I need to get a Ray's Rowdy tattoo at this point. I mean, everything that's happened.
Well, we'll get you set up with Mike Stoll. He's the Ray's Rowdy tattoo artist.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
Yeah, Mike.
Me too, brother.
He did most of mine, dude. Yeah. So, but just like, just from day one, dude, my first Riders Round, Ray's Rowdy.
We love you, brother.
I love y'all too. Y'all have really... That's been a big thing too. I get emotional about just having people excited and just as passionate about my career as I am.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? That's important as well.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thanks for hopping on and chatting it up with us.
Hopefully we covered everything. I feel like
I think we did.
I think we did great.
Great podcast. There we go. This is sick. This is sick.
And make sure you guys follow along and, I mean, check out the EP. We'll probably be dropping this right around when that's coming out. So, Very excited for you to get, you know, the new songs in with the old songs and give the ones that we've been in love with for a while new life, and the new ones a brand new life.
Thank you, dude. If this is out before, go pre-save. Mm-hmm. A lot of the songs are on it already, so you can go listen and get a little feel for what's coming out next. You want me to, before we get out, you want me to play one of the songs really fast?
Yeah, let's do it.
Sure.
You want to do
it? Yeah.
Let's do it. Where's my phone? I'll show you a little snippet. We ain't got to do too long.
Yeah.
You still need to be on it if you don't want.
No, let's do it.
Let's see.
Ain't what it looks like, baby.
Let's go. I'll play Rain or... Which one do you think? You can play However It Rains. This is pretty cool. I'll start it first verse. It's very different from what, like... You just have to hear it.
Yeah.
Pretty sick.
There's your vocal, bro. That's what that's what you were talking about. I could see why that one might have taken a little while.
Dude, it was so hard. That's actually the demo vocal, dude.
That's awesome.
I went in with Matt and I was like, dude, I don't know if I can re-sing it. We'll try it. And then I went to go hit it and I was like, all right, demo vocal.
Sounds great.
We were on a
dude.
Time crunch too, yeah. So it's like had to get it figured out. We probably could have figured out a different time to get it going, but yeah, dude. That was supposed to be for Teddy Swims. When we wrote it, it was like Teddy Swim vibe. The demo is very like piano ballady, like not really that country.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like I said, bringing these songs to Matt, and they're like, how do we make these sonically all sound?
Yeah, that's fantastic, dude.
Thanks, dude. I'm excited.
I love it. And I think that's like you said, like the emotional side of you that fans have been connecting to.
Yeah, dude. I think that's me now. I think, you know, next debut album, we have zero idea when that even is going to be planned. Like, this is me thinking ahead.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be A side, B side, I hope. And mm-hmm. I want to show, like, this, my influences. Like I said, I love Bieber and Chris Brown. I would love to interpret like that in, like, a debut album. And, like, with the country shit and, like, some fun songs. Like you said, like, I'll give you the songs that you can cry to, but I also want the next track to be something to, like, wipe your eyes and look, like, let's party. Like, you're alive, you're breathing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited overall. Thank you guys for letting me.
Of course, brother.
The podcast, dude.
Sick. Well, guys, thanks for listening to the pod. Like we said, make sure you either pre-save or download it, depending on when you're listening to it.
Yeah, 100%.
And thanks for being here again, brother.
Thank you so much. Love you guys.
You too, bro.
Let's go.
Cheers.